Finding the boss chamber of the kobolds was easy. Heavy, thrumming metal music blasted through the halls. It was a cacophony of sound with growling, deep vocals and guitars that were almost seizure-like. I couldn't tell if the vocalist was singing in English, or if he was even human at all. The words sounded like deeply distorted barking. Considering the enemies of this quadrant, I wouldn't be surprised if the singer was a kobold or a dingo. We followed the sound, which grew louder and louder until it was physically painful. Donut and I couldn't talk to one another, and we had to rely on the chat to communicate. We killed a half dozen kobolds and an equal number of dingoes along the way, plus a handful of the brindle grubs. Both of us hit level 12 by the time we approached the source. Donut.
This music is making my head hurt! Why can't they play something good? Like Oasis!
Carl, Oasis? Where did you get that from? Even B didn't listen to Oasis. Donut.
No, Miss Beatrice likes country music. That's just as bad as this.
Carl. Yeah, that should have been my first warning. Donut.
There is the boss chamber!
The outer kobold boss chamber was set up as a giant dog kennel. The text on the walls was in Portuguese, indicating the place had been some sort of municipal dog pound. It was a group of three long hallways flanked by cages. There was a secondary main chamber with a door at the end of the middle hallway, but we already knew from experience that whatever the boss was going to be, it would likely come out of that second room. That second door was huge, like the double doors of a barn. An ominous sign. Most of the cages were empty. But not all of them. Each row had four or five locked pens with danger dingoes within. I didn't see any signs of the kobolds. A handful of cages also contained the X's of dead monsters. Here, in this context, the large dingoes looked especially dog-like, and I suddenly felt an uneasy sympathy for them. The monsters didn't bark or attack the cages as we passed by them. They sat there, curled up, looking pitiful. Their dots, however, remained red on the mini-map. Donut.
Should we kill them? We should probably kill them!
It would be easy, free experience. And I knew once that boss chamber opened, these doors would likely also open. But it felt wrong. I remembered Mordecai's advice regarding the boss rooms. Look for the clues. Carl. Hang on. Not yet. Let's try to figure out what's going on here. I stopped at one of the cages. The dingo was on its side, breathing heavily, its back turned.
Hey, buddy! You doing okay?
I couldn't even hear my own voice. The dingo looked up, turning its head toward me. It was missing an eye, a recent injury. His white face paint mixed red with blood. And I noticed the injuries on his side, a mixture of old scars and new ones around his flank and along the side of his neck. The song ended. A moment later, a new one would start, just as loud and heavy. But in that brief moment of silence, I heard something coming from the main boss chamber. Cheering. I knew then what this was. God damn it. I hated this place. I hated it so damn much. I looked up at the boss room door. I searched my inventory. I didn't have any scrolls of heal critter left, but I did have a ton of pet biscuits. Donut still ate them, despite being classified as a regular crawler. But unless we were locked in the dungeon for 50 years, we'd never run out of food. I took a single biscuit from my inventory and tossed it into the cage. Donut.
Carl, what are you doing? That is my food!
Carl, I'm trying something. Let's see what happens. Donut.
This is a betrayal most foul!
Carl, you know the viewers can't see this chat. Don't be such a drama queen. The dingo painfully pulled himself up, sniffed at the food, and he ate the tiny biscuit. He sat back down and turned his back. The dot on the mini-map blinked and turned white. Yes. We repeated the process for all the other dingoes in the cages. There was a total of 14 of them. Most of them were in similar shape to the first one. Three cages also contained dead Danger Dingoes. I debated whether or not to have Donut raise them from the dead prior to the battle, but there didn't seem to be a way to open the cages. Donut's 10-mana second chance spell was now level 5. Instead of reanimating the corpses for 5 minutes once she hit level 5, they now remained animated for 10 minutes, which was usually long enough to finish out a battle. She could now apparently resurrect monsters up to 5 levels higher than herself. She currently had a pool of 28 mana points. She had 2 pieces of mana toast and a pile of mana restoration potions, though with her 2-minute cooldown between potions, their use in battle became negligible. So we decided to wait and see what we faced first. My plan wasn't too exciting, but it was safe. The door to the main chamber didn't seem to be opening, at least not yet. So we were going to use our tried and true method of firebomb and run. But just as I pulled a boom jug out of my inventory, our luck ran out. The music abruptly stopped. My ears rang, feeling heavy in my head. Within the chamber, the cheering ceased. The double barn doors started to open. Behind us, the door to the secondary chamber slammed shut. Above, new, more familiar music started to play.
Boss battle! That's right, you have discovered another lair of a neighborhood boss. Put your game faces on, ladies and gentlemen, and here we go!
Shit. I scrambled toward the barn doors. As I ran, I had a brief moment to marvel at how much I'd changed in the past week. My original instinct would have been to hide. Instead, I ran toward the danger. I lit the torch on the jug, and I tossed it directly at the still-opening doors. Just as the jug took flight, the doors flew all the way open, revealing a mass of about 40 kobolds emerging from the room, cheering and chanting. I did not see any boss at all. The world froze with the jug in midair. It hung like a comet. A group of kobolds were just starting to look up at the object in the air, rocketing toward them, their eyes registering surprise. My eyes focused on the kobold in the center of the congregation. He still appeared to be one of the level 5 kobold riders, but he was much better dressed. He wore what appeared to be a fur coat made out of dingo fur and wore spiked boots, making him a head taller than the others. In his hands, he held a small, metal-reinforced cage, about the size of a shoebox. His hands were frozen in the act of pulling open the enclosure. The little entrance pointed directly at us like a gun barrel. Uh-oh. Our mugshots splattered into view, and the verses stamped onto the image.
Ralph! Frenzied Gerbil. Level 11 Neighborhood Boss. Before we send you off to certain death, it's time for a short history lesson. When the Black Death swept through 14th century Europe, killing upwards of 200 million people and forever altering the course of human history, one of the original culprits of the epidemic was said to be the Black Rat, carrying plague-infested fleas into population centers to wreak their destruction. This is, in fact, not true. The true perpetrator was actually the Asian Great Gerbil, who took advantage of the warmer climate to travel the Silk Road and bring the disease into Europe. This is only important to know because Ralph, champion pit fighter of the Kobold Training Grounds, lives his life in a perpetual state of rage. Why? Because he feels that human death toll of 200 million is much too low! And he will do everything in his power to triple that number. Starting with you. The only survivor of a family of gerbils left to starve by a child who'd grown bored with the pets, Ralph had to commit unspeakable acts of cannibalism in order to endure. Part earth rodent, part the embodiment of death, frenzied gerbils are regular mobs one might encounter on the 5th or 7th floors. But Ralph here is special. He has dedicated his existence to fighting and training in hopes that one day he might exact his revenge against the humans he so despises. He is fast, he is angry, and by the time you're done reading this, he's already halfway to your jugular. You might want to duck.
The moment the extra-long description ended, the world unfroze, and chaos erupted all around us.
Oh, shit!
I threw my body to the ground just as the furry, squealing rodent sailed over my head. He'd shot out of the carrier so fast I hadn't even seen him. At the same moment, the boom jug exploded in the midst of the kobolds, evaporating most of them instantly, including Ralph's owner, the pimped-out kobold. A fist-sized ball of fur screamed with rage as he landed harmlessly down the long hallway. Donut jumped to my shoulder and shot a magic missile at the tiny monster, and she scored a direct hit. It flew further back, sliding and tumbling. A health bar appeared, indicating she'd taken maybe 15% of its health away.
Good shot!
The tiny boss looked mostly like a regular gerbil with the exception of its mouth, which defied logic and physics. Its ravening jaw appeared normal when closed, but when the tiny, absurdly cute creature screamed, its mouth opened huge, just as wide as the dingoes it fought in the arena. Its mouth burst open, obscuring the small creature attached to it. This was a round, frothing set of gnashing teeth big enough for me to stick my entire head within.
Alrighty then.
I stood to my full height as the creature snarled at us and prepared to charge again.
Carl, I can't help but think this boss has been placed here for a very specific purpose.
Donut shot it again with a magic missile, but this one missed as the gerbil jumped back.
What do you mean?
Most of the kobolds were dead, but a few at the edges of the blast had survived. One kobold, trailing blood, dragged itself to the wall and pressed a button recessed against the wall near the barn doors. A deep rumbling filled the chamber as the cages all started to open.
Bad idea, buddy.
The dingoes emerged from their cages. Their dots on the mini-map remained white. They slunk low, growling. Most of them were still injured, in obvious pain. But whatever spell had kept them under the control of their kobold slave masters had been broken by a simple act of kindness. One of the dingoes, that first one we'd fed, leaped out and pounced right onto Ralph. It happened quick, lightning fast. The one-eyed dingo swallowed the rodent whole in a swift, snapping gulp. Just like that, and the boss was gone. Behind us, the remaining kobolds fell back as the other dingoes turned on their former masters, dropping upon them and ripping them apart savagely. The kobolds weren't armed, and there weren't many of them. The barking, snarling dingoes finished them off in seconds. If we hadn't turned the dingoes on our side, this would have been a much more difficult battle. That had been the trick of this particular boss room. I silently thanked Mordecai for his advice. As unfair as this world was, it was still a game. There were puzzles and hidden paths to survival, and we needed to continue to keep our eyes open.
Well, that was quite easy and a little anticlimactic, if I must say so.
She looked back at the first dingo, the one who'd eaten the boss.
I guess I was wrong.
I looked about the room. The kobolds were all dead. From the main boss chamber, the sound of multiple unknown creatures started to howl and trill and yimp. These weren't particularly loud or menacing sounds, and I could barely hear them over the background music. None of them sounded like dingoes. Now that the smoke was clearing, I could see within the boss chamber. Like I expected, it was a small fighting arena. More cages circled the distant walls. I couldn't see the contents from this distance, but it was a mix of red and white dots. I suspected if we hadn't killed the kobolds so quickly, one of them would have likely run back in and opened those cages as well. The boss music still played, and the realization startled me.
This isn't over yet. We're missing something.
I formed a fist, preparing for an attack.
What did you mean? What were you wrong about?
The other dingoes all slinked away. Some bared their teeth at us as they passed, but in a submissive gesture, not an angry one. This close, the massive 200-pound dingoes were even more terrified than the old. While they all wore the white face paint, none wore it exactly the same. They congregated at the end of the chamber by the locked door. They scratched at the exit, like dogs wanting to go outside. The one-eyed dog who'd eaten Ralph continued to stand where he'd swallowed the miniature boss. He seemed frozen in place. The creature looked at us and started to whine. Donut looked pointedly at my foot.
It's a small rodent. Your feet are all nice and shiny. As Miss Beatrice used to say, time to pay the daddy tax.
Wait, what? Under what circumstances would she say that?
The dingo looked at us, cocked its head to the side, and then... Red and white gore splattered everywhere. The still-alive gerbil burst forth, flying directly at my throat. It was halfway across the room before the poor headless dingo hit the ground. The tiny furry rocket squealed. I'd been ready. I Mike Tysoned it with all my strength. The gerbil bounced off the floor with a sickening crunch, sliding until it hit the edge of the cage. Its health was suddenly in the deep red. It had stunned over its head with a 15-second timer. My gauntlet only had a 2% chance to inflict stun on monsters. I'd never, not once, gotten the debuff to activate until now. With a baleful glance at the ceiling, I took two steps toward the tiny, unmoving form. For a moment, I contemplated just punching it to death. Time to pay the daddy tax.
If it makes you feel better, she was talking about you. You're the daddy.
Donut looked down at the almost dead boss.
No, Donut, that does not make me feel better. That's the opposite of making me feel better.
I placed my bare right foot upon the small monster.
Sorry, Ralph.
No!